This is the Views from the Booth podcast, your reference guide into the world of sports broadcasting. Here's your hosts, JJ Duke and Joe Vasile.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Views from the Booth. JJ and Joe here with you. Took the last week off because of the 2020 presidential election. You all know the results. We're just going to go on, but we kind of wanted to take the week off, like how every program in the NCAA is doing, how every major professional sports team in America is getting everybody the urge out to vote. So we decided, let's just take the time, make sure that we do our civic duty, and we did, and we're back. And we're glad to be back with you. Last time that we were on, kind of wrapped up a number of topics into one, where we talked about creating your own unique sound as a broadcaster, something that is truly authentic, that is yours. I felt that that was a good conversation to have, purely because, and part of that was where we see so many young broadcasters, they always say that imitation is the most sincerest form of flattery. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's not exactly what your style should be, and it's a little bit forced. And Joe, I feel like when we wrap that conversation up, we really made sure to hammer it home that you need to work on, you, the listeners, work on what your sound is, not trying to be someone else that isn't in your comfort zone.
Yeah, we talked about a lot of the individual facets of creating your own sound. And one thing that kind of I have thought of in the few days after was about just kind of emphasizing how each individual point combines together to create a holistic picture of, you know, whether you, what your personality is when you show up on air, your word choices, your energy, how you attack a broadcast. Like, each of those individual things comes together to create the sound that is uniquely you. And so sometimes you're not, you'll be really good in some areas and not in others, and your sound will change over the years as those other facets kind of come together. And that's fine. You don't have to worry about, well, I don't sound, you know, 5 years from now, looking back, hey, I don't sound like I did then, you know, or my presence, my authority has changed on the air. That's not necessarily a bad thing, obviously, or unless you feel like you're getting away from yourself and what you are. In that case, it might be. But overall, it's just, it's a holistic picture made up of many individual categories that kind of, they're like a transformer, kind of get together and, you know, form a Megatron of your sound, or Optimus Prime or whatever. I've never seen those movies, actually.
I was about to say, didn't see you throwing in a Transformer reference in there, but hey, you know, to each their own, right? And that's the authentic you that you need to be. Great tie-in right there. And if you missed that show, make sure to check it out on whatever your favorite podcasting platform is. And if we aren't on that platform just yet, let us know. We will send all our socials out at the end of today's show. As for this one, this also ties in a number of topics that we had at the beginning, but kind of loosely a little bit. And I was talking to Joe about this before we went on back in June, which is crazy to think now that we've been running this podcast basically weekly since the beginning of June, now up until middle November, keeping on going, that this was one that I kind of forgot about for a little bit, but it made a lot of sense. And it made a lot of sense in the prospect of, it's not talking so much about broadcasting directly, but it's a way that kind of completes that circle of making you so well-rounded. And it's by opportunities outside of broadcasting to get yourself in the door. And then conversely, your broadcasting can help you with these other sorts of things. And it's basically growing by working in other roles. And what I mean by that is, if you're big into production and want to get yourself into broadcasting, if you're heavy on the writing side, the journalistic side of things, because especially now, and we had this conversation a fair few episodes ago in terms of content creation, a lot of the times now you're in charge of not only doing the journalistic side, but you're also going to be on the camera now a lot, maybe even calling games if that's your cup of tea at the moment. Perhaps also it could be kind of editing if you like the behind the scenes sorts of things. All these things help you in a matter of different ways in the broadcasting side. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And also in the way that as you as a broadcaster to gain almost a better appreciation of the show that you're putting on by putting yourself in these roles. Because I have seen it, and this is not to go into kind of the complaining side of things, but I have seen broadcasters in the past, and also I was guilty of this to an extent as well, of getting a little maybe whiny if something isn't there in the sense that you want it. Like, why isn't a replay coming quick as you want it to be? Why don't we have this sort of an angle? Or, you know, maybe the storylines that you wanted to go to, but it doesn't always fit the show. These are things that you almost kind of have to grow out of by doing it in a sense. And I felt it was one that's like, hey, might as well dive into it a little bit because truly, at least for me, all these sorts of roles help me become a better broadcaster.
Yeah, there's this old economics pamphlet called iPencil, and I have it somewhere on my bookshelf right over here. And I'll spare you the gory details of it, but and just kind of get to the point of it, which is it goes through all these different processes and materials and different jobs and everything else needed to make a pencil. Something that seems very simple, and yet showing how specialized all this knowledge and all this information that you need is to make this very simple thing. And a broadcast is much like a pencil, where when it's good, when it works, when everything is clicking, it looks simple and it looks easy. But there's a lot of very specified knowledge that a lot of different people need to have and bring to the table in order for it to look like that. And no one person, this is also part of the idea of the pamphlet, no one person has all of this knowledge and all of this expertise themselves. You need to work together as a team and have understanding of what you know and what you bring to the table and what you don't know and what you know somebody else is bringing to the table. And working in different roles in a production or even just in the sports media landscape in general. I know a lot of people who listen to this show are play-by-play broadcasters or aspiring play-by-play broadcasters, but working in sports in fields that are related, even if not necessarily that, is going to enhance your ability to be a good teammate and a good cog in that machine that is a well-produced, well-presented broadcast, which is what every single person from the top of the credits down to the, you know, last person on the credits is all shooting for. A smooth broadcast that looks good, sounds good, and that people watch and, you know, almost don't even notice because it's just that good.
And if you went back a couple shows ago and listened to some of the experiences that Mike Samsel brought to the table in the Calling All Games at All Levels show, it's also an opportunity for you to really get your foot in the door and to ultimately get to where you want to be. As Joe was talking about, if you're someone that's aspiring to be a play-by-play broadcaster, but you're currently maybe putting together commercials for a broadcast, you're not even producing the show yet. You're just someone, as Joe said, maybe at the bottom end of the credits, which, by the way, if you work together in that full cohesiveness of a production, it's a great production, and you do really well in the sense of maybe winning awards, guess what? The person at the top gets an Emmy, and the person at the bottom gets an Emmy as well, because you're all part of a team. But with that being said, if you're someone that's wanting to get to the level of a broadcaster, the talent that's on camera or the talent that's heard, but you're not quite there yet, if you continue to put in the hard miles, which is something that we all know about, but putting them in, doing the work that ultimately puts you in the eyes of people to say, hey, you know what? I've seen this guy come in on weekends. I've seen this person stay late at night to make sure that our stuff sounds good. And oh, by the way, he sent me or she sent me their tape a couple of weeks ago. Let me give them a shot, because they're doing the stuff to not only do their job right, but to get noticed. And you know, they, if they work hard, you're going to warrant chances. And then ultimately you have to take those chances to continue getting more ones.
Yeah. A lot of it comes to getting your foot in the door in certain places, where if you become the familiar face, especially early on, and they get to know you and know your work ethic. And the important part of it, know what it is you want from your career. Like, go into it saying, hey, look, I'd be happy to help behind the scenes. I know you need a lot of help there. I'd love to call games. If there's no opportunity, I'd still love to, you know, do some of the behind the scenes stuff. So that way, going into it, they know what you want to do. And then when, not if, but when that opportunity eventually comes up, you're going to be there and be able to step in and kind of move into that role. Or, you know, if you want to get into to kind of the talk radio side of things, it's the same principle of, you know, if you're in college and you're interning at a radio station, you know, and they know that you have on-air desires, maybe they can tailor what you're doing so that you have a better idea of the production side of things, which is going to help you be better on the air. If you understand everything that goes into the production, you know, then when you have your opportunity, you're going to be able to have a well-produced show, because you're going to know what to do. You're going to know from the producer side of things how it is, you know, you like talent interacting with you, and you can approach them as talent, knowing just how hard their job is and how much is on their table, and not having those unrealistic expectations of, well, why isn't this, you know, in ESPN Big Monday level production at a Division III school? Well, it's because, you know, it's just not a realistic expectation based on what the possibilities are. And so getting those opportunities, whether it's not volunteering, but, you know, offering to, you know, hey, if you need someone to run camera for this game, I'll do that. Can't call it, I'll be happy to run camera or direct or do replay or graphics or something like that. That's going to help you better understand the entire production process.
I mean, let's go on to that one. If we're going to hit a number of different topics, production for me, I think that's one of the most valuable things. And we're talking in terms of the operation side of things. So that is, as Joe said, running a camera, someone being a TD or PD, technical director, program director. You have someone running replay. You have someone that's running either table side stats, or someone that's running the stats behind the scenes, back in the truck, someone that's doing graphics. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, these are all the elements that go into a, as Joe's saying, a big, big production. You don't just have a handful of people and here's a variety of roles assigned. You have dozens, in essence, of people that are basically running a 2-hour show or a 3-hour show, however long that game needs to be. For me, at least personally, I felt those were some of the biggest growing moments, because not only do you understand later on as a talent to be like, okay, so this is what goes into putting a show together, but now all of a sudden, say if I'm running a camera, for example, during the game, and you're not the main camera, so high camera, if you will, what do I, as not only a broadcaster, but as someone at home watching, want to see out of a shot? Do you want to see something very specific? Do you want to see something that's kind of a little bit more general? If you're not having your producer in your ear at the moment, these are some of the things you start to think about as you go forward as a broadcaster, what type of shots that you want to use. And then also in the back of your mind, what am I exactly going to be talking about when I see that shot comes up? If it's a glorified beauty shot, you know, this is where you start getting like those topical geography lessons of the location that you're in. If you happen to be somewhere, you know, a quick nugget in there. If you see a player talking with their coach about strategy or something along those lines, what are you going to be saying in that moment to ultimately enhance your broadcast? So even if it's a role that's so far away from you being behind the microphone, but you're on a camera just that one in itself, it could be massive just for you to start thinking those mental reps when you see situations eventually when you're with a microphone in your hand.
Yeah, and it also helps out with a very elementary part of doing TV broadcasting, which is people at home can only see what's on their screen. So talk about that. And if you realize, you know, from being on the production side of thing and you have, you know, a headset on, you're running camera and you can just hear the producer calling out different camera shots, you know, ready to take two, ready for, you know, just popping around, you realize just how much the cameras change and how much then you as a broadcaster on the air need to be aware of those camera changes. And if they cut to the coach, I don't know, say something about the coach. You don't have to, but, you know, maybe you want to. You know, that's the time to do it. But if they cut to the coach, don't be talking about something that's not on screen unless, like, something crazy is broken out and you know they're going to be cutting to it eventually. Like, a fight just broke out and they're, you know, down on the other end with the coach. Talk about the fight that's happening over there because that's what's happening. But, you know, don't be completely glued to your monitor, but it does kind of reinforce that that's something that you need to be aware of kind of on that TV side. And on the radio side, when you're talking about production, you know, I've run boards back in studios for a long time. One of my first minor league baseball experience was, running the board for the Trenton Thunder, former now AA affiliate of the New York Yankees. They were on my college's radio station, and yeah, I listened to the games, which was great for me, and played the commercials, and you understand the rhythms of how to structure a broadcast, as well in that, experience, how to organize things. So that way, you know, summer later, when I'm now working for a summer collegiate team, I had a better idea of how should I structure the commercials that I need to play during my broadcast? You know, how do I work with it? And it made that process so much easier because I had the experience of being just on the back end production side of it, where I'm following a log and doing that. And I just had that model and that knowledge of, okay, here's how I do this. And it wasn't something that, that necessarily ended up throwing me, because I understood that side of the job first, which is so incredibly helpful doing anything in life, period, is just understanding as much of how things work as possible.
And even to add on that a little bit, you're talking about getting an understanding of the rhythm of a show, whether it is a show that with picture or a show that's just audio only. Putting all that together as a talent, all of a sudden, your connection with whoever's leading the production becomes so much stronger, because then all of a sudden you can start relating to what they have to go through on a daily basis. Production crews, for the most part, their job is to come in, set up, execute the show, break down, and leave. If they have the opportunity to be around, if it's a tournament style and you have the same crew coming in, okay, they might have a little bit more of not only an awareness of what's going on, but buying into exactly what's happening, and they could start picking up on certain things. But often enough, you're having trucks that are basically just driving from point to point to point, doing all these things and then just leaving. But now if you're a talent, probably meeting a group for the first time, and that probably usually happens, where you only speak to maybe a handful of people, you don't even know half the things that are going behind, but you can relate in the build up to it. Also, another tip for those who don't know, people in the production will probably ask the talent for not only players to watch, storylines to build off of, things like that, but then if you can add in more things to help them, then their life becomes a lot easier, and then the rapport is there. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, I know what they need out of me, or sorry, I know what they need. They know what I need. Let's work in harmony. Best case for me, recently, so this was fall 2019, work Big East field hockey tournament. And I had the same crew for both the semifinals day and the final. they were bouncing back and forth between Providence to Hamden, Connecticut, to Queens, St. John's, and then back up to Hamden in the span of 4 days. They're doing a whole thing. Yeah, busy, but that's how those crews operate. And they, not to say that they had no idea what was going on, great group, I love working with them, but they were basically solely reliant on myself, just the play-by-play, because you had the analyst who's coming in for her first time really doing it, but she played the sport, coached, et cetera, knew what was going on. Then you had the field reporter, and they were there just to execute whatever their job was. So they were basically relying on me to not only put a show together in terms of format, but also everything to look out for. They knew what the scenario of a tournament was, but if I hadn't spent all that time in my past, you know, breaking down, setting up cameras, going through shows, Joe saying, you know, having a format already in your head, we would have been spending so much useless time hammering this stuff out, as opposed to here's what's happening, here's what you need to know, here's what I'm going to carry on my own end, and let's make this work. And we're able to, you know, execute three flawless broadcasts, as opposed to piecing it together for two, and then hopefully it turns out nicely on Championship Sunday.
Yeah, and that's such a huge part of everything. Yeah, it is just to understand. And like, that's the perfect example of where you've got a crew that's bouncing around, maybe they're overwhelmed. If they know they can lean on you a little bit to make their jobs easier, that just makes everything about the broadcast better, A, and B, they're going to like you going in, and they're going to want to, I don't want to say work harder for you, because they don't work for you. You know, you don't. You work for them. But they have the power to make you look good or to not make you look good. Not that they would ever make you look bad on purpose, I don't think. But you know what? They're going to try as hard as they can to make you look good, because they're going to remember, yeah, this guy was great in helping out leading up to this throughout the whole week. And they're going to be that much more excited in the midst of this crazy stretch, be like, all right, at least we know when we're at the Big East, we got JJ and everything's going to be fine there. We don't have to worry about it. He can help us put out any fires.
Another topic that I was kind of keen on, and this actually carries on from one that we had a month ago or so when we had Drew Kingsley on, and this is on the media relations side of things as well. So we're bouncing from production. We're now going to media. How can working as media relations help you as a broadcaster? We've already hit one out of the way, storylines. If you can perfect putting together a solid preview or solid just journalistic work in the buildup, it makes your life on air so much easier. The second, the writing, we've talked about how often enough you're going to be writing your own opens when you're at that level to do so. And then just, you know, having all those connections, whether it is working with coaches, players, other media personnel, et cetera, being good at those sides of things, ultimately, and we've said it as well during that show, where media people often are the broadcasters too, but you can put together the needs and wants of all those things, and that's going to help you in that sense as well.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we're all in the communications business. So it's just so intertwined. You know, if you're working in minor league baseball, there's a 95% chance that if you're broadcasting, you're going to be doing media relations as well. So you better be good at that, because probably most teams care more about what you're going to do on the media relations side than they do about how technically good you are as a broadcaster. You know, if there's a tiebreaker, that's going to be the tiebreaker. It's how good do you write? You know, can you handle our social media accounts? Can we trust you to update the website with the correct information about what the promotions are on the next homestand? Those are the things that are going to set you apart and make you the person that a team hires versus somebody else. You know, it's not gonna come down to how good of a broadcaster you are, because if they're considering you for the job, then they think you're good enough to go on air for them. So you know, once you get to that point, then the rest of it, and the rest of it being media relations, becomes the important part of the job. So that is just so utterly important. And it's a reason why you see a lot of people when they get out of broadcasting on that side, they move into media relations roles, whether it's as sports information directors or directors of communications for athletics departments, whether it's working into just media relations departments at bigger organizations like a Big Four league sports team where there's five or six different employees in the media relations department because they have such media demands, or even if it's going into the private sector and working in marketing or working in PR and communications on the corporate level. You see a lot of transition from one to the other because the skill set is so important for broadcasting. And even if you get to a level where you're not doing media relations anymore, you still are. Your prep process, you're going to be doing generally the same things you would have done media relations wise, except instead of writing up a preview and putting it up on the website, the preview that you write is more or less in your head to get ready for the broadcast. Identifying the storylines, the trends of players, knowing who won what award last week, who was named the conference defensive player of the month last month. Like, these are all important things for the media relations side, but it's the same for the broadcasting side. It's just a different medium that you convey the same information. And so they're almost inextricably linked, those two jobs. But if you can write and not just write, post-game wrap-ups and things like that, but, you talk about writing an open, you're writing not just your open, you're writing the entire game because you're writing your broadcast on the fly. And so if you hone your skills and you hone your ability to be a good writer, that means broadcasting is going to be a lot easier for you because you're just writing the whole time. That's all you're doing. And that's why it's such an important skill to be on air, even in an unscripted broadcast. The best advice you can give is write the way you talk. Don't write with a different voice. Write conversationally the way you talk. And that will help you be a better broadcaster because you're just used to it. It becomes habit. And that's with building any skill in anything, is if you make it a habit, it's just going to get easier and easier, and eventually it'll become second nature.
I find it actually really funny that you talk about you have to write in your own voice to make it all sound like the way that exactly you want to be on air. This brings me back to, middle school and high school, where you have English teachers, putting down marks on your paper saying, use your own voice when talking. It's like, what do you think I'm doing? I'm writing in the way that I would be talking. Okay, maybe not, saying I instead of all right or ha 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 or, LOL, stuff like that. But you get the point. That was the one that I just found hysterical for a second because, crux of high school English teachers trying to bring the best out of you in a sense. But yeah, no, you make a point.
Yeah. And we've talked about it a bajillion times. I've been very shameless about it on social media. With the documentary, with Secondary Lead, the script for that show is like 110 pages in Microsoft Word long. It is 60,000 words long. And each week I'm still adding stuff to it as I go along. Like, I'm still not done writing this thing, even though as we record this episode 4, as you're listening to this, episode 4 dropped yesterday. So I'm still doing this, but like, that's a massive writing project. And if I'm not writing that in my own voice, it's going to sound so bad when I'm then reading the script and recording it. So that, again, like, especially in the broadcast, I think learning to write in your own voice is like the most important thing. Like, the one thing I hate when I'm reading or even just having a conversation with someone is when you can tell they're stretching to come up with words to make them sound smart, you know?
The SAT words, if you will.
Superfluous. I don't say superfluous in everyday conversation. So why would I write that in, you know, if it's not going to be how, if you're not sitting next to me and I'm not here and like, this isn't a script or whatever that I could just be sitting here reading to you or saying or verbalizing the whole thing to you, it's just not going to translate. So you have to make sure that you work those bones of, or muscles, I should say, not work the bones.
Well, the bones are there. If you don't have the bones, then you got a real problem on your hands.
Yeah, I'm just making up phrases as we go here. But, you know, if you don't work those muscles of writing the way that you talk, you know, if you do step out and do something a little different, like start a podcast, things just aren't going to feel right. And you're going to be wondering, there's something a little off, but I can't quite put my finger on it. And it's because maybe you're not writing in your voice. So that's such an important thing for you as a broadcaster, whether it's a play-by-play. And then, of course, you know, look, if you're going to be a sports anchor, you write, like, that's what you do. You write, you read it off the teleprompter. Like, a lot of sports talk people don't generally script out what they're going to say, but they still write some bullet points and some other, you know, a general outline of what you're doing. And like, sure, that's not formalized writing, but it's still writing and it's still organizing your thoughts with words on paper or on a screen. And that is, it's the most useful skill, written communication that a person can have in life. You know, if you can't convey your thoughts in words, it's really hard to communicate. And being able to do so in written form is literally something that has changed the world because it's that important.
It was interesting that you brought up your project right now, Secondary Lead, and it actually transitions kind of or segues nicely into another part. And I think maybe like the last one that we'll hit on in terms of how other roles can really help you in your broadcasting sense, or at least grow it. You're talking about writing and you're talking about putting together your own project. Well, guess what? You're also editing the whole thing as well. And these are a lot of things that go into really solid broadcasts or real solid shows. Maybe not so much you see in a game that you do, but guess what? If you're wanting to promote something the day beforehand that goes up on social or goes up on maybe, you know, another program of that channel that you air, you're going to have to put a great piece together to captivate people, to make them feel like I want to watch this. Editing is massive. Whether it is the projects that we do, in addition to your Secondary Lead, you also the podcast for Bucknell Basketball, same thing for all the stuff that I do with Fairfield. If you don't not only put passion into the work and want it to make it look and sound good, but it's also about the ethic of putting in all that time to make sure that you're doing it, you're doing it the right way. I mean, I could just let this run straight through and then throw it up the next morning, but that just wouldn't be the way that I would want the representation of this show to be, is just have an unedited thing. Here you go. Enjoy. No one would want to listen to that. It would just be garbage at the end of the day. You want something sounding polished because it's who you are, and your work reflects that, the work that you put, either, well, really in any capacity for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you talk about wanting to make sure you edit things and do that good polished product, understanding how to do that, like, it can be intimidating, especially with some of the interfaces like Adobe Premiere. If you've never used it before, it can be kind of an intimidating interface. But there's plenty of resources out there, whether it's asking around on Reddit, looking at YouTube videos, asking people that you know that have some kind of knowledge or expertise in video and audio editing. on, hey, how do you do this? I'm looking to try to do this. How do you do that? There's generally a way that you can figure out how to do it fairly easily. It's something that takes a lot of time. Obviously, it's not a fast process at all. But it's a very worthwhile one to know, because it will make everything you do better. And not even close. When you do this show or your other shows or I do my shows, like I spend probably twice, if not longer, the amount of time editing than I do actually sitting down and recording, because it takes that long. And honestly, it's one of those things where you can just keep listening over and over and be like, ooh, I should fix that. Ooh, I need to tighten that. You can drive yourself crazy just trying to polish it further and further until it's perfectly smooth, and you may never get there. And that's one of those things where you have to learn to just kind of let it go at a certain point and kick it out of the nest and see if it flies. But when you're talking about that, like, it goes back to something we talked about all the way at the very beginning of the run of this show, which is, you know, you are your own business, right? So you are JJ Duke Inc., I'm Joe Vasile Inc., whatever. So everything we do and everything you should do, the listener, you need to think of, okay, my professional name is going to be on this. So what do I want the reflection of that to be? And if it's not, like, if the answer to that question isn't, I want it to be the best possible thing that it can be, that's not good. Like, you've got problems. Like, if your desire isn't to represent yourself the best, and to put in the work to get it there, which is that editing process, whether it's video or audio wise, you got problems. And then you need to kind of think about that attitude a little bit more. So going and learning those skills obviously is vital. Even if it comes down to something just as easy as, you're not going to do a podcast or a big project or something like that, but you're still putting those skills to work when you're putting your demo together. You're going through all your old audio, you're cutting up highlights, you're editing them together in a way that's pleasing to the ear. And what you don't want is, you don't want to go from a highlight that's at a super high level of audio to one that's at a lower level of audio to one that's somewhere in the middle, and then a stretch of play-by-play that's kind of in the middle. If you don't know how to normalize and get everything to about the same decibel level without it sounding distorted, again, that's something that's going to count against you, because A, it's not that hard to do, and B, it's just going to be off-putting to listen to and kind of jarring. And if you go from to whisper and then back to a normal speaking voice, people are going to be like, what is going on with this guy? I can't hire him. This sounds terrible. Or her. This sounds terrible. You know, so you have to figure that out. And you can do it on your own. There's free software that does things both video-wise and audio-wise. So again, you don't have to invest further than the laptop or a computer that you already have, and just work at it and get better and find out what you need to do. And maybe that helps there, but it also then opens up opportunities for other avenues for you to make money out of broadcasting. I've been hired by my alma mater to produce a couple of videos. Short little things, but if I didn't have the knowledge of how to edit them up, I don't make that money. I don't get that job. So it's going to be just helpful to you in a million different ways. And again, I feel like it's one of those things that just vital to what we do in broadcasting. And obviously, once you get to a certain level, you can just, here's all my games, you throw this together for me. But I'm guessing nobody listening to this show is at that level yet. I'm not at that level yet. You're not at that level yet, because my first name might be Joe, but my last name is not Buck. So I'm not at that level yet. where I don't have to cut my own demos. So, and who knows, maybe Joe Buck does it too. I don't mean to pick on him. But it's just a vital skill, and if someone offers you the chance to do it, don't turn it down just because it's not exactly what you want to be doing. You'll learn something. You'll get to practice. And that's as important as anything else.
I mean, you summarize a number of things perfectly. So I guess I'm going to finish that off by saying, for those that are listening, and I know there's a lot of folks that are currently still doing their undergrad right now, do as much of all this as possible. Like, there are so many resources out there. I don't think there's a school that doesn't have like a college radio station or a television station or a place where you can go to grab a camera. If you don't have these things, but if you can find a camera, shoot some stuff, edit together to give yourself the practice to then give yourself, as Joe said, we all have to do these things, not only just to, in order to make a living, but in order to make sure that we're keeping ourselves sharp in all these areas. And that's another big thing, by the way, keeping yourself sharp in all these. Yes, you know, Joe and I have gotten to a point where unless there's scenarios that work out in our schedule or case by case situation, we're going to mostly stay on the broadcasting side of things outside of special projects, but it's not like we're completely ignoring, you know, how to produce a show or ignoring our media relations skills, all these things. But how did that happen is because we took the time when we were younger, we found opportunities, or our hard work were then granted these opportunities, make the most of them, and just keep grinding. I know everyone hates that phrase so much because it's like, I don't want to keep grinding. I want to get there. Yeah, we all do. But the fact of the matter is, as well-rounded as you can be, that's ultimately going to help you progress on this ladder to get to the top. Because as Joe said, if your demo has your audio levels at, you know, going plus 10 down to minus 50, you're going to have problems. You're not, unfortunately, going to get hired. You're probably going to have the hiring manager, if they even respond back to you, saying, you need to fix this in order to be taken seriously. So take the time. And Joe hit it perfectly a number of episodes ago. We're in a pandemic right now. What have you done to make yourself better? What have you done to be productive? I know, you know, if you're listening to this 2 years down the road, this may, hopefully, knock on wood, this period of time does not still go on. But
listen, if you're listening to this 2 years down the road and we are still in the midst of this pandemic, you're not listening to this podcast.
We got problems.
There are no more sports anymore.
However, with that all being said, if you haven't taken the time, if you always thought, well, I should try and, you know, work on some video projects, but what have you been doing the last 6 months outside of, if you needed to get a job in order to pay your bills, which is completely understandable. We're all in that situation. But if you haven't taken the time to at least try these sorts of things, as Joe said, then it's probably coming down to your attitude, and attitude speaks volumes. So take the chances, take the risks, because ultimately the more well-rounded you are, the better broadcaster you're going to be.
And I will circle around and add something that's probably, I've been getting real tough love the last couple of weeks. So I'm going to get it again here. We've said the whole part about, yeah, what have you done during the pandemic to get better? And obviously if you've needed a job to pay your bills, that's completely understandable. JG's in that. I'm in that boat. I'm working. Stevie
Poole that we talked to recently is in that boat. Mike Sant, they're all in that boat.
Yeah. I work 30 hours a week at a part-time job that gives me enough money to keep my bills paid. And in working 30 hours a week, I've still done the things that I've done. JJ has, where I won't pretend to know what your work schedule is, but you work a lot. You've still gotten a lot done. Like, you can't, even if you're working 40 hours a week, there's 190 something, I'm butchering that number, but there's a lot of hours in the week. There's a lot of downtime. what are you doing with that time that, okay, you're now not at that job? Like, if broadcasting is where your career wants to go, or where you want your career to go, what are you doing with that time that you're not working and paying the bills? There's plenty of it. We've got it there. As of right now, only the NFL is going sports-wise. So you can't have my excuse of, well, I got to watch the baseball playoffs. I use that excuse a lot for a couple weeks span there. Election's over. What are you doing with that time to be better when we finally come through this whole thing? And even once this thing is over, you still need to think about that. What am I doing generally to be better, to further what I'm doing? What new skills can I learn? What skills can I get better at that are going to make me more marketable, that are going to make me better at what I do? And the answer for a lot of people is you need to get better at the broadcasting side, because I know that's my biggest answer. I need to get better on air. So I know that's number one, but I can't necessarily do that right now. So what else can I do that'll help bring, you know, up a couple of grade levels, so that way you can really make the jump when the time is right and the opportunity is right that comes along? You know, how do I go from a C minus to a C plus, so that way when the time to become a B plus is there, I can do everything I need to do to get there and to kind of reach whatever your high potential is.
Yeah, perfect. Honestly, like that's kind of, and we're not all tough love. We do love you guys, and we appreciate that you are listening to us. But these are some of the things that you have to take into account when you want to do this. If you, I know I've said this phrase a couple times, but if you take nothing away but this, if listening to this podcast, Joe and I have put in the miles, and we're going to continue to keep putting the miles. If you put in the miles, you're going to get somewhere. If it's broadcasting, great. If it's working behind a desk and trying to achieve, you know, to get through the corporate ladder, great. But attitude makes who you are, and growing yourself in as many roles as you can, that's only going to get you somewhere. And if you're still trying to figure out exactly on the broadcasting side how you can better your roles, well, you can ask. Ask. Because people, decent people, if you're willing to take the time to try to better yourself but are not completely sure, we're not going to throw you aside. We will gladly help as much as we can. We can't get together in person, unfortunately, or not many cases, but we can at least have conversations to how to do that. And Joe, I'll get to all the you know, socials in a minute, but I think that's kind of a good spot to wrap up, because of the fact that we want everyone getting motivated. We want people hitting the, you know, improving yourself. And really, when things start up again, you don't want to be getting yourself out of the blocks. You already want to be running, because guess what? In a couple of months' time, you might have a chance to make that jump, maybe a little sooner than you projected, because you put in the hard work right now.
Yeah. I mean, look, obviously the best time to start a new habit is yesterday, and the next best time is right now. So if you haven't gotten there, that's fine. You can start now. You can start tomorrow, as long as you actually start tomorrow and you're not just going to say it. Like, and of course, if you need help, you want to bounce an idea, reach out. Absolutely. Like, I am always tough on myself. JJ is tough on himself. But it's from a desire for us wanting to be better. And I am that way in talking to younger broadcasters as well. But I always feel the need to preface that. Like, don't take any of this personally. You know, I'm very tough on myself. I'm going to be a little harsh here. But it doesn't mean that I think you're not good, because I generally, everyone who sends me stuff is really pretty, pretty good. It's just, we're always willing to help. A lot of other broadcasters are willing to help. If you admire the work that someone does, reach out to them. tell them that and say like, hey, what advice do you have for someone who wants to get good at X, Y, or Z? And most of those people are going to get back to you and tell you exactly what you need to do. They're going to be very helpful. And so, you know, the resources are there, and it's something good, obviously, for you to do for your career. And it's a great thing to learn a great many skills, even if it's not directly in the lane of where you see yourself going. Because maybe you'll find you like it better, or maybe you won't, and you'll still have that knowledge and that appreciation for what people who do that do. And that's just going to help you be a better person, honestly. Deck with Broadcaster. It's just going to help you be a better person to have empathy with people in other situations. A crazy concept in the year 2020, I know, but it's something that would be good for everyone to do.
Without a doubt. So if you want to get those resources and reach out to us, happy to do so. You can email us directly, the show, viewsfromthebooth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @thevftb_pod, Instagram @viewsfromthebooth_pod, Facebook @viewsfromthebooth_podcast. Joe is @JoeVasilePBP on Twitter, Joe Vasile on Instagram. I'm @JJDuke21 on Twitter, JJ.Duke21 on Instagram. Joe, I enjoyed this conversation. Looking forward to the next one.
Absolutely. Looking forward to next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Views from the Booth podcast. If you want to catch up on any of our past episodes, you can find us everywhere where you get your podcasts. And we'll see you all next time.